Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for November 2nd, 2017, already into November, heading down the home stretch towards the big Thanksgiving, Christmas days, and in anticipation of this, and I never do this early enough, I posted a Christmas sale, because with me it's a little bit different. You don't just walk in the store and get it, and you know, it's on the shelf at the store where ours have to be mailed or shipped. And sometimes the shipping is to foreign countries. So I put it up there, a sale, an extra 5% off of everything, in addition to 10%. So this is a 15% sale. It's a big deal, plus free shipping. So you can't do any better than that. You don't even have to go to the store to buy it. And plus, you can't buy my stuff in the stores. You cannot find my stuff on Amazon or whatever, eBay, any of those mega sites, and you can't find it at Walmart or Target or anywhere. They're not available in stores. So you can go to my store, get the best water filters on the planet or my books, etc., and you can ship to anybody, any place in the world. So just put their name, their information in the ship to address, and we ship it there. Last Christmas, I had a guy that ordered for his whole family. And water filters are the gifts that keep on giving year after year. It's not just you open it, oh, that's nice, and the kids play with it for a day, and then it goes in the closet. Water filters, you use them every day, and in case of emergency, which you never know in this crazy world, you don't know. And the first thing you're going to need, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, and everybody in between, is clean water. So anyway, go to my webpage, check out the sale. All of the reductions in price are there. Significant, as you can see, 15% off the list price. And free shipping. Okay, enough of that. Wanted to get that in. Also, the paid cast, I wanted to explain a little bit. The series that I'm working on right now is called Space Travel, Past, Present, and Beyond. And this is going to be through November. There may be some sessions into December. And I've started another series. It's in the middle of it. It's called The Science of the Colbran, and I'm going to continue that series after this next one. But what's happened is I got a bit sidetracked, and that Colbran series is a very, very detailed series. So I have to put really, really serious time in on it, and I've been diverted a little bit here, not to mention I had to escape from the hurricane stuff back in September, early September, and that just threw a monkey wrench in a lot of things. But also the Wing Project, which now is where I'm going, I'll explain that in a minute, but I'm going to have people who are potential customers start contacting me so we can sort them out and find the customers who have really good situations, maybe on a ranch, on a farm. And also, do you want on-grid or do you want off-grid electricity? In other words, most people in those situations will want an off-grid situation in which you just have backup power. You can run your house. You can run everything independent of the power company. And that's a good situation. I'll explain a little bit more about that. But anyway, that whole effort has sidetracked me and diverted my attention. And I always said I wish I could have about eight of myself so I could be moving in all these directions at a given time. But the point is, in the paid cast, the Science of the Colbran series is right in the middle. I think I've got four or five of those episodes done. And that will continue, but the episodes, the series that I'm starting right now in September, deals with space travel, past, present, and beyond. And that's a very interesting topic. It's one that really oh my goodness, is so distorted. It is so distorted. What you hear from NASA and everything else, I've been in the doors, let's say, because of my career, because of who I've been, and etc., inside the doors of the basically black ops operations. I've never signed contracts with the government. I've never worked for an aerospace agency. I've been ripped off by them big time, but I've never signed contracts. I'm a completely independent scientist. So you'll get a completely different perspective on that topic than you will ever see anyplace else. And, you know, when I look around at these yo-yo outfits like Space.com or, you know, Sky and Telescope or Discover Magazine, it's just disgusting, absolutely disgusting what they pawn off on you, the public, relative to space and space travel. And so, in the plus, I mean, now there's a whole laundry list of new people, private industries involved, and actually they're doing, I would say, relatively okay stuff. But they're still caught in this, well, I'll talk about that. But for the paid cast, go sign up. It's $3.95 a month, and you get a weekly extra edition, which is deep dives into scientific topics, where I just talk about that topic. This show, I get into other, you know, current events, things like that. And so I don't have the full show to dedicate towards a scientific lecture. So join the paid cast, $3.95 a month for an extra weekly deep dive. And, by the way, there are upsales there for my, you get $3.95 a month is for the ongoing monthly paid cast. But you can buy all the episodes going back to August of 2016. So that's well over a year of paid casts. And I think it's like $25. It's really pretty ridiculous. It's half price. And then there's half price for my Atlantis to Tesla book, required reading, or the entire ebook library. And so those are half price sales there. So go to that, click on that on my page. And I may as well get this out of the way right away here. The wing generator, I'm starting to take information from customers, people that are interested in getting their own independent energy source from the wing generator. And I'm hopefully all of you understand what that is. That's my design of the very efficient mid to low wind speed and high speed also wind generator. And it's very different from the goofy stuff that you see out there in the fields. If you've ever driven through Kansas or Iowa or southwestern Minnesota or California or Nevada, out in these places, you'll see those fields of these three-blade wind generators, and they don't work. We have an installed base in the United States of 88,000 of these, and they've all been installed under government subsidies. That's why they put them in. And they've been getting up to $500,000 each in Canada, all around the lakes, you know, Montreal, Quebec, Toronto. In those regions, you'll find tons of these three-blade wind generators, all installed by government incentives. They were getting up to $500,000 a year for each one of those. So in 2 years, they had them paid for, and they didn't even have to produce any electricity, which they didn't. Okay, so here's the fun fact about three-blade wind generators. In the United States alone, there's over 88,000 of these installed. So somebody, you know, who was it? The guy down in Texas. T. Boone Pickens is one, and then the other guy, I forget, one of the richest men in the world guys, who made his fortune off of installing three-blade wind generators and selling water he didn't own. I'll think of his name in a minute. I'm sure you all know who I'm talking about. It's like my mind blocks out these scumbags, thankfully. But these people got subsidies to install these three-blade wind generators, and they don't work. So here's the fun fact. 88,000 of these things have been installed. They're not installing anymore because the government incentives went away. Somebody finally figured out that these things don't work. And there's of the 88,000 in the United States, averaging 1.5 megawatts each, that's their maximum, that's what they call installed base. They don't even produce 10% of that. But if they did, they would be producing enough electricity so we could shut down all of our nuclear power plants. Isn't that nice? But they don't. They don't produce anything. So, and also I've learned that in many states, including California, I've talked about this before in the show, relative to solar panels, that the power companies simply turn them off because they have a remote switch. They can turn them on or off, and they just leave them off. So people are buying grid-installed solar panels for their houses, thinking they're going to be green, thinking they're going to have a savings in their electric bill, and they have none. It's a scam. So there again, Elon Musk making a lot of money, basically over people, and they don't work. They don't. Solar panels work a little bit, but they only work a couple hours of during the day. They don't work at night or in cloudy days. So there again, we have a so-called alternative energy product which doesn't work. And nobody can afford to buy the batteries, even though Musk is selling batteries. You know, he's trying to install these big bases of batteries and to help out the three-blade wind generators that don't work, that only work a little bit now and then, and to store up some energy. And so it's an amazing, huge cost and environmental cost. That's the other problem with installing those batteries. The lithium lithium ion batteries are extremely just environmentally they're a disaster because the mining of the lithium is an environmental disaster, as well as the magnets that are in the three-blade wind generators are niobium, which has destroyed vast areas, especially in China. So the so-called green alternative energy world is a disaster. So anyway, to get out of that, you now, I'm taking applications for customers because we have to sort them out. A lot of people may want one, but don't have a good situation. You may have zoning you have to deal with. You may have other issues you have to deal with that are, you know, trees, forests in the way, places where there's not good wind. And so right now I'll be taking applications. And this is not just the United States. This is any place basically in the world. So email jmcc@jmcanniescience.com. Then go to my webpage so you get the spelling correctly, jmcc@jmcanniescience.com. And then what we're going to do is send you a questionnaire. In the subject heading, put in capital letters, wing, and then we'll know that you are interested in purchasing a wing. And right away, we're going to sort out the interest seekers from real customers. So if you're not a real customer, please don't respond because we're going to sort you out real quick. And so this is for serious customers who want alternative energy that works. And once again, email to JM. And by the way, this is all at the top of my homepage. Just go to the homepage, jmccsci.com. It's all written there. So I don't want to spend more time on this show. But that's opening up. And also, there are no licensing. There's no more licensing going on. In other words, for private development, etc., that has ended. So there's no outstanding licenses that for development, and there are no there's no availability for licensing of development of wing generators anymore. That's all In the history, that's all past. So the development that's going on right now is consolidated under a new company that I have, and all of that will be released to the public. It's all been in place for a long time with the patents, trademarks, licensing, the all of the other things, that operating agreements that go with that. So the customers, the real customers, once we sort them out, we'll get a little more information on that, and also to the general public, because this has all been going on in the background. And so, as I said, I've been a very busy young man. Okay, a few commentaries here. Tonight's main science topic, by the way, is going to be on solar system development, planets from comets, and something that I don't talk about enough. It's a core issue with my space science work. It's one of the core issues that I dealt with back in my Cornell days, 1979 to 81. And that's where all of this started. It's like the seed time when the data was coming in. That's when it was conclusive that the comets could not be dirty snowballs. That's when it was conclusive that the solar system did not form all at one time. And so you'll have to read about that in my books, like Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes. It's just simply a summary of things that happened back in the 1970s with my work. And then the series of progression through weather work, the weather work on the electrical nature of weather, etc. But tonight's main science topic, dealing with planets forming from comets. And I have a beautiful picture on my homepage. I encourage you to go click on that. It's right at the top, and it shows a star system exactly like our own from a distance. And you can see the planets forming in the outer regions. You can see the comets forming planets in that picture. And so I encourage you to go there once again. First topic on world population update. This is, I saw a woman on TV the other day. She was from China. I believe I mentioned this before. And her job was overseeing the transportation in these cities. In China, there are 44 cities greater than New York. Now, we consider Tokyo and Mexico City and New York always are neck and neck for the world's largest cities. But we don't even consider China. China has 44 cities bigger than New York, one of them close to 300 million people, the entire population of the United States in a single city in China. It's insane. These people have 1.2 billion people in that country, and the country is not that big. India is neck and neck, so they're competing for the most populous country. But 11 of these mega cities have its upwards of are very big, not just bigger than New York. Here's another fun fact, and I talked about this before, that Mexico and the USA now have a half a billion people between them. And this is staggering because we have hit the cusp of the exponential growth curve, which means that in 20 years, we'll have, between Mexico and the United States, and, you know, whether you draw or build a border wall, the population explosion is going on in the Mexican population, primarily, and that's where 20 years ago the United States had 270 million people. Now we have 330 million, and most of those are illegal aliens from all countries, but primarily Mexico. And so it doesn't matter if you draw an imaginary line along the Texas border or put a wall, because those people are having babies like crazy. And, okay, whether you agree with that or not, that's a different story. But the reality is that we have hit the exponential cusp, and that's what happened in India and in China. And so once you do that, your population growth doubles every, like, in those places, it was like every 13 years. We might be 20 years out to doubling to up to 1 billion people. So we will be hitting that population number of 1 billion people in about 20 years. This ain't good. Now, couple that with the fact that the United States agricultural region is the most depleted land in the world, including the California desert, the valley. It's now a desert, and without water and Monsanto fertilizers, nothing will grow there. And that's the same for all the way from Indiana to Kansas out west, and the what we call the breadbasket of the United States. So that's about six states in the middle of the U.S., the most depleted land in the world. So a very scary proposition that without Monsanto's chemicals, they have basically killed off the land so that the only thing can grow there are Monsanto frankenseeds and frankencrops, so which is poison. Even the local TV stations are starting to do stories. I just saw another one last night, starting to do stories on the farmers getting cancer who are working around glyphosate, which is Roundup, and the people dying. And this started a long time ago. I started noticing all these farmers, 50 years old, 60 years old, getting ready to retire and dying from cancer. Well, they're supposed to have the cleanest lifestyle on the planet. And they're dying off at a very young age, consistently, because they're handling and they're around in the fields, etc., with this basically cancer-causing agent. Cancer has taken over the number one cause of death in the United States for everybody, for all age groups, is cancer. It's overtaken heart disease, which used to be the number one killer, and that was probably because of obesity, overeating, and just basically a very bad lifestyle. I can't believe when I go to malls in the U.S. and I look around and the people are not that old and they're hobbling around. They can hardly walk. They're overweight. It's primarily due to the sugar that comes from corn sugar, the processed corn syrup. It's everywhere. It's in 25% of all food products. 25% of all food products have that, and that's why people have these like extended stomachs. It's almost impossible to find good food in the United States. I mean, you really have to try. And even though you might be eating organic, it's more than likely GMO. Very unlikely that you're going to find non-GMO. There's some places, there's some little corner food stores that are starting that. But look at what happened with Whole Foods. They started out great. They started out with a plan, and then they got married to Monsanto as they grew bigger, because you can't supply all those stores. There's not enough good produce to fill all those stores. Okay, so the problem with all of this and the population growth is a single disaster. In other words, a crop failure, a cooling of the climate or something like that, or say a mega volcano going off where crops failed in a given year, then these mega cities where literally there's no food produced at all, these cities, mega cities around the world in China, depend completely on food that comes in from afar. And the, excuse me, but the 7 billion people in the world could be reduced to a very small population overnight. I mean, literally in a very short period of time, weeks. So it's a very scary proposition. Nobody's doing any planning. The United States does not have food reserves. Something that we learned in the Bible as little kids, we learned with Joseph in Egypt, where they stored up the grain and then had 7 years of famine. There's nothing guaranteed. And the problem is the distribution network for Monsanto is very delicate. And that's what the U.S. depends on. So places like Russia, which has vast untapped resources, vast agricultural areas that are never been touched by Monsanto or Franken seeds, and a population that's very much in control. Russia's actually slightly declining population from a population of about 140 million, a third of the United States. Okay, so that's a little bit of an update, but economics 101 here. The United States, I estimate, through the natural disasters, the California fires, the hurricanes from Houston, the Florida hurricanes, and the other natural disasters that have occurred in the last 2 months, have affected 10% of the U.S. economy. So that's a startling fact. Another little fun fact here is that as you watch the news, as the hurricanes, there was just another one that came up across the Keys, the southern Florida, and it crossed over Havana, Cuba, and then came, of course, up to the northeast, where it affected on the anniversary of Hurricane Sandy. So, man, did the news media and the fake weather news media get a lot of mileage out of that. On the anniversary of Sandy, it comes up. And boy, did they remind everybody about the Hurricane Sandy, which was, of course, they're not going to tell you, but it was a totally manipulated storm. So on the fifth anniversary, another completely manipulated storm hits the Northeast. But what I noticed in all of this reporting going back into, well, as far back as you want to go, but certainly through all of this hurricane activity that very much affected Cuba, they never mention Cuba. They'll talk about Puerto Rico and the other islands in the Caribbean. They'll talk about the Bahamas, etc., and other little islands that are sovereign nations, etc. But they never mention Cuba. This last one went right over Havana. They never even mentioned it. It didn't come on the radar at all on the news programs. So it's like Cuba doesn't exist in the world of fake news. And for people who really don't understand, Cuba is one of the most influential countries in the world today. They have the medicine, the dental, etc., which is world famous. They have the lowest cancer rate. So for anybody that thinks that Cuba, you know, they've got problems, but they had to withstand 50 years of resisting banker assault, they didn't cave in to the banker techniques of destroying Latin American countries and raping and pillaging them. That's what the revolution was all about, was getting out of the thumb of the CIA, the mob, and the world bankers. You may as well just put them all in one big dog poop pile, because that's what they are. The bankers, the mob, and the CIA. Okay. I already mentioned the five-year anniversary of Sandy, the hurricane in the Northeast. Another totally manipulated storm. On the same front, wind, and more wind. I don't know about you, man, but I have been in some wind lately, and there's no apparent reason for this. I'm trying to search and look for causes, the standard causes, and I am not finding them. And these are big, big wind patterns. This is not laser-manipulated storm activity. This is not climate change. This is not chemtrail spraying activity going on. This is not HARP-related. These are wind systems that come from the North Pole and extend down to Cuba. And powerful, powerful wind storms. I mean, and they last for days and days. I've gotten some very good gas mileage lately because of these winds. Just, you know, you get with one of these as a tailwind, and then I've seen situations where the people going the other way have a lot of accidents because of the wind. And, of course, now is the time when we're all over the U.S. we're hitting that 32-degree threshold. So if there's a little bit of mist or snow or water in the air of any kind, a little bit of rain of some kind, that's when it freezes. So, man, be careful out there. If the conditions are bad, get off the road. You know, don't take a chance. I saw pileups, cars, and I was not feeling very good driving with the wind, but these were cars coming into a 50-mile-an-hour wind. So remember that if you're going 50 miles an hour and bucking a gusting and switching wind of 50 miles an hour, you're basically in a hurricane. You're dealing with hurricane force winds in your little car, or I saw trailers, people trying to pull a trailer with an automobile and off the side of the road and all, you know, tangled up with their trailer. No, it's not, you know, it's not worth it. Pull off the road, find a place, tuck in for the night and wait for the wind to switch. And if it's a couple of days, ride it out, you know. But wind, I don't know where this wind is coming from. I can't figure it out. That's something I'll be tracking here. But this is not just in one place. When we were coming out of Florida, of course, there was wind. Oh, my goodness. We meaning all of the people in Florida, we were being blown out of there by the hurricane, the winds that were in front of the hurricane. But I'm, you know, a lot of different places. And the wind is from the east or the west or the north or something. And, man, so I don't know what this is, the story with the wind, but we have been getting serious wind. And I always talk about the Jupiter winds, etc. But this is not Jupiter winds. Jupiter is on the other side of the solar system. Anyway, I'll try and keep tracking that. But that seems that something else is going on, but I don't have any kind of indication that there's something big going on in the solar system. There's no apparent contributors that would be locking into us. And this is over the course of a couple months. Things that are far out in the solar system, like, say, Saturn or Jupiter or anything else, those alignments only last a couple days. And then Earth has moved on and we're not coupled with those anymore. Or say there was, you know, a hypothetical big object in far distant solar system, we would only be coupled with that for a couple of days. So it's not something like that. You can rule that out. And I've heard rumors, which I always hear rumors, but I don't have any concrete evidence of anything in the outer solar system, etc. So what's the cause of the wind? This tremendous winds that we've been seeing? I don't know. I don't know. But energy has a source. It doesn't just like pop out of nowhere. There's a real source for this. Excuse me. There's a real source for this, and I have not been able to identify it. Let's just put it that way. Recently, I was a guest on a radio show, and this topic came up, and so I thought I would just toss this in here. As you know, I sell water filters. They're the best water filters on the planet. They're also the least expensive, but there's probably about 10 companies out there that sell a black carbon, all of the stainless steel containers are probably about the same, but of course, mine are better. Because we now make those ourselves, which is a whole new, nobody else does that. But talking about the filter elements, there's probably about 10 companies that have taken on these black carbon filters. And I used to sell a brand of them. I don't anymore. There's a number of difficulties. They don't work in emergency because they plug up very quickly and you cannot clean them. They don't have a nice smooth surface like ceramic. But the problem is that none of them take out arsenic and fluoride. And those are two of the biggest things that you want out of your water. So what they do, they don't even tell you this on advertisements, etc. But to get those two things out of your water, you have to buy an add-on filter. It screws on to the bottom. It's kind of a after the fact add-on filter is what it is, and I used to sell those. I had all kinds of problems with poor customers would be out there, and it would slow down their water flow to zero. Plus, they hang down into the water in the bottom container, and the aluminum chemical that's in there that removes the arsenic and fluoride only lasts about 500 gallons. And also, there are many claims out there, and I'll have to tell you how to discover this yourself. You don't have to just take my opinion or my saying this. But there's a lot of companies out there that are claiming that their filters will last for 5,000 gallons. And that is based on a chlorine test. Now, there's chlorine in the water, but then they're saying they take out viruses, they take out other things, but they claim they have tests for that based on an NSF, a national standard test. But when you look at the fine print of their testing, they only test for like 10 gallons. They've only tested these for 10 gallons. A stack of paper will remove viruses for 10 gallons. And so it's false advertising. It's you can't say anything else. It's simply false advertising. So unfortunately, the industry is not regulated very well. And it's not a big, big dollar industry like, you know. And so the problem is, in fact, it's kind of comical. If you look at the Brita, you know, you buy it at Walmart, these little, they're like a plastic container. It's got a little poofy thing of carbon activated charcoal. And they brag that they let the fluoride go through. Like, that's good for you. They, you know, that's their implication. Because the carbon does not take out fluoride. And also, the add-on filters, I have to tell you the real story on those. There are two types of fluoride. There's naturally occurring fluoride, which is pretty minimal in most people's water. And then there's the sodium fluoride chemical that is put in by your city. That's a non-natural, that's a chemical from a chemical process, a manufacturing process. And they didn't know what to do with that. And then they came up with the idea of putting it in toothpaste and in water supplies. But it's extremely costive, and it's cancerous, it's carcinogenic, and it makes you lackadaisical. That's why it was discovered in World War II that chemical made people like they were drunk. And so drinking fluoridated water is really, really bad for you. But the add-on filters do not remove the fluoride that's put in by your city. It removes a naturally occurring fluoride, not the fluoride that's put in by your city. So it's also false advertising that it removes fluoride. It's kind of a slip slide. So the add-on filters don't remove fluoride that is put in by your city. It removes fluoride that's naturally occurring, and for most people, that would be extremely minimal and really not a problem. And so any black carbon filters really are not, they're not filters, they're absorbers. And secondly, other companies are selling ceramic filters. None of them are all-in-one. They're the old Dalton-type ceramics. And, you know, if you're out in the country and there's no chemicals and you're just getting silt out of your water, okay, they work okay, or some bacteria. Okay, they work okay. But in today's toxic world, we're met with thousands of chemicals that are in the water table, from industry, etc. And so that's why when we formulated the filters I sell, they were made, we targeted these chemicals and chemical groups and heavy metals, etc. And my filters take out viruses too. But viruses are small and they have a way of creeping through any filter. And so especially over time, they, you know, the time lapse is a special thing. So we test for viruses and all of that. But you have to, when you see my filters, say rated for 1,000 gallons for this regular 7-inch or 2,000 gallons for the Imperials, that's because we tested for that much water for all of those chemicals. And these other companies have tested for 10 or 20 or at most 200 gallons and making a 5,000 gallon claim. So I just want you to be aware of that, because when I'm on radio shows as a guest, they put their ads on over me to try and put their ad, because they know I sell water filters, and try and get sales. But it's just a reality. The black carbon filters, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. So, and plus, they never tell you in the ads that you have to buy add-on filters and that they only last 50 gallons. So when you add up the cost of those, they're $39 each. They actually cost more than my single filter, which takes care of everything all in one filter. So it's really a no-brainer, but a lot of bad advertising, a lot of false claims, and people are getting away with it. So I just want you to know about that. So I think it's within my realm to toot my horn about my products, because there's nothing like them. Hey, plus they're made in the USA. When you buy those other products, you're paying for shipping from foreign, like from China, from India primarily, and you're paying for shipping and customs and local shipping. You're paying for all of that. You're not getting that money is not going into the product. Plus, there's no quality control over there. Believe me, there's nobody standing at that assembly line making sure that it's done properly or that the materials are up to snuff, or whatever they're making them out of. And plus, mine costs less. Okay, enough of the water filter stuff. But yeah, just remember, go to my webpage. It's all there. Tonight's main science topic, comets forming planets. Okay, now this is part of the core issue of my work. And of course, along with this goes the concept that planets are captured. They're not forming all at one time. So I go around, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because space.com recently did a thing about, where does the sun come from? Where does the planets come from? And they have these tier 2 Mickey Mouse scientists that have gotten their PhDs and are all repeating the same story that couldn't possibly be true. So as you see on my homepage, jmccsci.com, right at the very top, there's a beautiful, beautiful picture of a star with its surrounding, and these are called nebular clouds. I call it the nebular ion cloud. But you can see the comets out in the extended regions of this gaseous, dusty region that surrounds this star. And if you looked at our star, the sun, from a distance, you would see the same thing. And that would be something to get a spacecraft far, far, far away from our sun. But, I mean, you'd have to be light years away to get a good view like this. But what happens, the reason this dust and gas is lit up is because it's responding to ultraviolet light that comes from the star itself. So the process is that the solar wind pushes back the dust and gas out to this region. So this region surrounding the star is very rich in dust and gases. It has the nitrogen, the hydrogen, oxygen, etc., all of the building blocks of life. And so also it's a region where there's the solar capacitor. So discharging that solar capacitor, you can see the comets out there forming planets. And that is why in our own solar system, they're finding hundreds of planets, well-formed planets. Pluto's one of them. Pluto is the nearest one to us. But there's hundreds of them out there that are bigger than Pluto. There's some that are really big. There's some that are potentially the size of Jupiter that have been forming out there for who knows how long. And the idea that our sun is somehow 4.5 billion years old is just a myth. There's no evidence for that at all. There's no proof of any kind. What they did is they took some rocks from the surface of Earth and allegedly from the moon. I mean, that's, let's see, do they have moon rocks or do they have something they found up at the North Pole in the ice? The scientists go walking around up there every year because the meteorites fall and they get trapped in the ice and they can walk around and find them. So then they measure them and they make some estimates based on relative composition of ions and isotopes of various long-lived radioactive materials. And they say, oh, that means this is 4.5 billion years old. Well, that whole process is more than questionable. And the interpretation of that process is more than questionable. So it's been kind of the standard for measuring the age of things. But we don't have any litmus test for that. We don't have any corroborating evidence, if you understand what I mean. Let's put it this way. Nobody was around when the solar system formed. But there again, we were, because Venus is a young planet. The ancients saw Venus come in, and that's what Velikovsky is all about. That's why they had to destroy Velikovsky, because he was showing how solar systems formed through the eyes of the ancients. Velikovsky was not a scientist or an astronomer in the sense of a space scientist. He was a psychologist, and he was an expert in ancient languages. So what he did is he went around to all of the ancient texts that were in museums, and what he was looking for was very interesting, a very esoteric topic, not something that's highly public. But he was looking for a timeline in ancient history. He said if there was some kind of worldwide event, like maybe a volcano erupted or a nuclear winter, or not a nuclear winter, but a mounder minimum type of winter where there was a cold period or something, you know, something you could identify with all of the civilizations at that time around the world. And he identified the Venus event. Everybody in all the ancient cultures, and there were cultures totally separate. The Mayans and the Incas and the Aztecs all referred back to that event where basically, and of course they did it, their descriptions figuratively, they were talking about Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent god of the night sky. The Incas had their Quetzalcoatl character, and all related to Venus. And so Venus was a central deity in the Mayan pantheon of gods. The central Chichen Itza is the central religious center of the Mayans, and the central temple is dedicated to Venus. And, you know, and to Quetzalcoatl. So it was clear, and these are, the point is that all of these societies were completely separate. They were not associated with each other, and they all talk about the same event of the Venus event. It was the earmark event in all of history. And, of course, if you go into any school today, any school, I don't care if it's kindergarten or advanced PhD astrophysics, Nobody will mention the Venus event. And it's the most formative event in the history of man, more so than the Noah's flood, which was worldwide. And they try and say, oh, that was just a little, that was a breaking dam over in the Middle East. And it's not about a breaking dam at all. Nobody said that the water came rushing down a valley. It's 40 days and 40 nights of torrential rain. And if that were the case, why would Noah build an ark? He'd just move his family over there. I mean, that is so ridiculous. Imagine the scenario that they want you to believe, that this was a flood, that the Noah's flood was a breaking or breached dirt dam, in the Mideast that held back water, and that came flooding in and flooded the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, that's what they want you to believe. But now, if Noah knew about this, why would he build an ark in the middle of the floodplain where the water was going to come rushing down? And he would just move his family over there. It'd be a lot easier. Just up to a high area, you know, over on the edge, and say, okay, now it's going to flood here. We've moved. You know, why would you build an ark and then float around for a year on it, and put all the animals in it? I mean, what they want you to believe is so goofy that, I mean, these are professors. These are guys that are making $150,000 a year teaching your kids in a university saying this. I mean, come in. I'm in awe at the stupidity of what they want you to believe. And they don't talk about the Venus event, which was the Moses event. Very evident that that was a large comet, and all of the things, the seven plagues. I've gone through that on my 2-CD set, the Physics of Planet X and Ancient Celestial Disasters. I go into all of that in detail. So I suggest you go listen to those. 18 hours of lectures on that. And by the way, just to re-mention this, Warner Sizemore, good friend of mine over the decades, was the editor of Kronos when I was a contributing author in there. That's where my three-part paper was published back in the early 80s when I got kind of slam-dunked out of the standard astrophysics world of publishing. I was published a couple peer-reviewed papers when I was at Cornell, and then heavy-handed, you know that story. But Warner Sizemore was an editor at Kronos. Louis Greenberg, excellent, excellent, hardworking editor in that. And Warner Sizemore, I did an interview a number of years ago, probably maybe a decade ago now. But I knew that Warner was getting on in years, and I said, this guy isn't going to be around forever. I mean, maybe I'm not. Who knows? But, I mean, forever, of course, nobody is. But I knew Warner was elderly, and so I called him up one day, and I said, Warner, I got to have an interview with you. And that interview is in that CD set. I mean, that is worth it just all by itself. And by the way, I really don't make a lot of money off of these CDs. It's not a money-making deal. But that information is platinum. I mean, that is more than a platinum record of some great rock singer or something. To have hours of Warner Sizemore in interview, and he was Velikovsky's personal secretary. Now that's the thing that makes him unique on planet Earth. He was there. He recorded the Velikovsky talks. He was at Velikovsky's house when Einstein would come over and have supper and play his violin, and they were personal friends. And that's something that the scientific community has been trying to say, no, they were not friends, they never talked. Well, hey, buddy, they were both at Princeton at the same time. They were both Jewish from Einstein, of course, from Germany, and Velikovsky from Russia, but they were good friends. At Princeton, and they hung out together. They were friends, and when Einstein died, the book in the center of his desk, everything else was pushed aside. His secretary came into his desk at Princeton, and in the center, open, was Velikovsky's book, World in Collision, because Einstein was interested in this electrical stuff. He knew that general relativity was not true. He knew that general relativity had problems. But it had been railroaded into prominence by Eddington. I talk about that in my DVD also, about how the general relativity and the Big Bang were railroaded into prominence by Hubble and Eddington and those people. And Einstein didn't believe it. He said, no, there's something missing here. The electric and magnetic fields were missing. And that's where my work came in. I completed that work with the induced electric dipole redshift. So at any rate, a little diversion there. But back to the idea that comets are forming planets. Planets form from comets. They are hundreds of them forming out in that outer region. Standard science cannot figure out why there are all of these planets out there. They're a little bit mum. Remember, they demoted Pluto from being a planet because now they call these Kuiper Belt objects. It's kind of like in the hurricane industry. Once a hurricane gets above a certain latitude, they call it a post-tropical storm. What a bunch of idiots. Man, I just am amazed. Every venue you look at is filled with garbage information coming from garbage scientists and pawning it off on you, the public. It's just staggering to me. But anyway, look at that picture on my homepage. Go there, jmccsci.com, and check out that picture. Look at it for a good period of time, and you'll see out in those outer regions the comets. And right at the star side of the comet, because the tail points away from the star, you'll see the bright area where the planet is forming, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And that's what we see on our own solar system. So at any rate, a little bit of lesson there. Also read my books, The Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes. And all those books are timeless. A lot of people are using them for homeschooling, or they buy them for their kids at college, etc. So they get some real information, not the what they're trying to pawn off you at college or whatever. I feel sorry for kids. They're paying all this money and going and writing papers, and they're selling degrees. Of course, you put in your time, and it does make you think and helps you out, but good grief, 99% of what you learn there is complete garbage. Including economics, what they teach you in college in economics, and just staggeringly bad because it has nothing to do with the real world. Okay, so anyway, once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com, at the very top, there's that link to the 15% sale. It's the Christmas sale. Get your orders in early. That's what was my point, that people wait till the 2 weeks before Christmas, and then they go, oh, how come my order didn't get there by Christmas? Well, it's because you didn't order till a week before Christmas, buddy. Do it early and give the gift that keeps on giving, water filters or my books, etc. And then secondly is the paid cast. If you haven't joined, $3.95 a month for extra, deep dives into scientific topics. And then if you're interested in the wing generator as a product to purchase, send me an email. I'll add that information at the top of my webpage, jmccsci.com. And oops, I forgot to mention the MR5 and 9 big commercial filters, whole house filters, now have sales buttons there. So you don't have to email anymore. You can just send those in or make the orders right there on the page. And so check that out. Down at the bottom of the water filter section, you'll find the commercial grade, whole house, farm, ranch, or industrial grade water filters. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.